Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 31 as we continue our Sunday morning sermon series through the book of Daniel. We began in this chapter last week. We saw it begins with a great feast that Belshazzar, the current king, has thrown, a great party that he has put together. And then in the midst of it, there is handwriting that comes and writes on the wall. He doesn't know what it says. His enchanters and magicians and all the rest can't understand it. They can't read it. And finally, Daniel is brought in to the king, and Daniel is going to interpret the handwriting for him. So let's look together at Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." And Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your awards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored." Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter: Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And thus far, God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word, may he write its truth on our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that indeed our lives are in your hands. And we pray that we would not be like those who lift themselves up and defy you, God, but give us a godly humility. Be with us and teach us from your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, our family completed in our daily worship together reading through the book of Job. And I have to confess, there is much in the book of Job that I do not understand. Even reading it year after year after year, there's much that I don't understand. We know the basic story. Job was a righteous man. God even pointed him out to Satan as being an exemplary righteous man. But he gives Satan the power to take away from him as he wills. And Satan, in fact, does that. Job shows his faith and faithfulness, though he departs a little bit from trusting fully in God's sovereignty. And at the end of the day, the Lord ends up rebuking him. But then he also restores to him the things that he had lost. But the classic verse that I want us to reflect on today in light of this passage in Daniel 5 is when Daniel says these words, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All that we have and all that we are is from the hand of God. And the question for us is, how do we respond? Do we respond in humility and in worship, or do we respond in self-serving, puffing ourselves up, and pride? Our lives are in God's hands, this text reminds us this morning. And as the Apostle Paul says, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. God is absolutely sovereign. And that is the message that we continue to see in this book of Daniel. God is the ultimate ruler. And God sits on his throne. We are also accountable. God holds us accountable for what we do with the good gifts that God has given to us. So again, how do we use those gifts? How do we respond? Do we respond well, or do we respond in defiance? This passage in Daniel chapter 5 has many comparisons or contrasts. We can compare a number of things. Daniel to the wise men, Belshazzar to Nebuchadnezzar, etc., etc. But I want to look at some more theological type contrasts that are brought out, or comparisons that are brought out in this passage this morning. Three in particular. And the first is this: God is sovereign, but human beings are responsible. God is sovereign, but human beings are responsible. There is actually a striking repetition of two key themes or words in particular. The first is the repetition of God gave, God gave, God gave. In verses 13 to 16, we could say it's implicit. God gives the interpretation to Daniel. But then look with me at verses 18 and 19. We see these words: O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. If you go to the end of verse 23, We read the words, "The vessels of his house you have brought in before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear. But the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored." God has given you your breath. Your ways are in his hand, yet you have not honored him. At the end of the passage, we see in verse 31 that Darius the Mede receives the kingdom. In other words, God gave it to him. He receives the kingdom. God gave. God gives what we have. Even to those who don't recognize it, God gives what they have. The second repeated theme is the word "you." Look with me at verses 22 and 23. After going through what has happened with Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar ultimately turning to Yahweh, Daniel now points his finger at Belshazzar. "You, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the king of heaven. You and your lords and wives and concubines drank from them. You have praised false gods. The God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored." 14 times we see the word "you" or "your" in those two verses. God gave you breath. God's ways, your ways are in God's hand, yet you have not honored him. God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God gives life to everyone. Our very lives, our breath, our ways are his. And we're all accountable. We're all accountable. I wonder to how many of us Daniel could stand before us and say, "God gave you this, God gave you that, but you have not used it for his glory. You have used it for prideful and selfish purposes." Do you see every breath as being from God? Every gift, every circumstance in life as being from the hand of God? The good, the bad, the successes, the failures, health, sickness, normal life, isolation. They're all from the hand of God. Florence Lubega was a former member of the parliament in Uganda when Idi Amin came to power. Her husband was murdered during Idi Amin's reign, and she had to go into hiding, and she eventually fled to London. And she would later write to her pastor these words: "Ever since my conversion, I have been praying that God would dispose of Amin. I have wished him dead, and when I see his picture in the news, I feel sick. Now I don't know how to pray. After fleeing from Uganda, I had nothing. Everything I owned was taken by Amin's soldiers. I lived in Nairobi for almost a year, and I slept in a garage with only newspapers between my body and the cold cement floor. I had nothing to eat. It was then I learned what I had not learned, sleeping on a mattress with a full stomach. I learned to love Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior. Since then, I have come to London and still have been praying for the death of Amin. But should I instead be praising God for a man so evil, that he took everything I owned and caused me to see the Lord? She goes on to say this, it is when everything is uncertain that God's face becomes clear. When things are uncertain, that is often when God makes himself the clearest to us. God's sovereign, and yet we are responsible. Secondly, we see in our text this morning that God humbles the proud and exalts the humble. He humbles the proud and he exalts the humble. Again, if we go back to verses 18 and following, this description of Nebuchadnezzar, and we see the words again that God gave Nebuchadnezzar the throne, God gave Nebuchadnezzar his kingship, and yet verse 20 tells us that his heart was lifted up. He did not give thanks. He did not praise the God who had given him these things. In fact, if you remember back in chapter 4, what he actually did was he said, look at this great Babylon that I have built with my power and with my glory. His heart was lifted up and God brought him down. God humbled him, as Daniel goes on to say in verse 21, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. Until he knew. He exalted himself and was humbled. He humbled himself and God exalted him once again. In our passage this morning, in this chapter, Belshazzar is going to be brought down. He's going to be brought down because of his arrogance, because of his pride, because of his defiance of the one true and living God and the worship of false gods who can't see and who can't hear and who don't know anything. It's really the worship of himself. And Daniel tells him here in verse 22, you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. There is a little bit more of accountability here for Belshazzar because he knows the truth. He knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He had an advantage. You knew this. And yet he defied the God that Nebuchadnezzar had come to worship. And his life is taken away from him. His kingdom is taken away from him. He is put to death, and we certainly have to believe that this is not only physical death, but spiritual death. Scripture tells us, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We have a contrast here with Daniel, this lowly exile from Judah, who now is exalted and lifted up as we come to the end of this passage. That's what we need to do, is to remember that we need to constantly humble ourselves. One of the things that God is in the business of doing is humbling us. God brings hardships. God brings adversity. God brings failures. God brings health issues. Oftentimes to humble us. When we begin to lift ourselves up, when we begin to think that we are really something, God in his grace and mercy brings circumstances into our lives that are meant to humble us. Do you give God glory? Remember Herod in the New Testament, who gave a speech and he was being praised by the people and he was struck dead, Acts chapter 12. Why? The text tells us he did not give glory to God. He exalted himself. The present distress I don't know what God is doing, as I've said in the past, but at the very least, He's humbling us. We pray that many will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, because they're humbled. They are not self-sufficient. Others will simply continue to defy and exalt themselves. But we also need to be brought to humility, remembering that our lives are in God's hands and all we have is from Him. We need to praise Him. For those of us who are control freaks, we need to give up control. Recognize that God is in control. It's the great answer, question and answer from Heidelberg Catechism puts it, we are not our own. We belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Third thing we see in our passage this morning is that God reveals Himself to some for salvation, and God reveals Himself to others for judgment. God reveals Himself to some for salvation and to others for judgment. The clear intent here of this revelation, this writing on the wall, is for God to show Belshazzar that judgment is coming. And it's right around the corner. It's not very far off. The ominous handwriting was a sign. And Daniel comes in now in verses 24 and following, and he gives the interpretation. We read of it here, beginning in verse 26, this is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and has brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. As Ralph Davis wonderfully puts it, he's really just a lightweight. And then finally, Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And he is put to death. God reveals Himself to Belshazzar. But it's a revelation for judgment. And a scripture tells us that everybody is warned. That God in some way reveals Himself to everyone. Romans 1 tells us that all have knowledge of God's existence, and yet they suppress it in unrighteousness. They worship false gods. Hebrews 6 tells us that it is possible to be, in some sense, enlightened, to know who Jesus Christ is, and yet not to worship and bow the knee to Him, even as Satan himself and the demons know who Jesus is, but they don't worship Him. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when that day comes, it doesn't mean that all are going to go into heaven to be with Christ, or into the new heaven and new earth to be with Christ forever and ever. Some of those who are bowing the knee and confessing are those who are going to spend an eternity in hell, apart from God. God reveals Himself to some for judgment, but He reveals Himself. But God reveals Himself to others for salvation. God gives us eyes to see. He gives us ears to hear. God does radical heart surgery. He gives us new hearts that enable us to believe unto salvation. God gives us conversion to enable us to know and believe in the gospel, and then transformation in life. And as Ian Duguid puts it, believers know that in and of ourselves, if we were weighed in the balance, we would be found wanting. But praise the Lord that God reveals himself to his people. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." That is our great hope. That is our great confidence. But that is the most humbling of all doctrines. The most humbling of all doctrines. Our life, our salvation is all of God, not of ourselves. We have no room for pride, no room for self-sufficiency. We need to recognize that everything that we have, our life, our breath, our gifts, our salvation, are all in the hands of an absolutely sovereign God. So may we say with Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Our God, how we thank you that you are the giver of every good gift. We thank you, O God, that our lives are in your hands. And for us, your people, O God, how thankful we are for that great truth. That you have ordained every step, every breath. We ask, O God, that you would continue to lead and guide us. Humble us, we pray. That sin of pride hangs on in our hearts and in our lives. May we daily walk humbly with you, our God, to the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude this morning, let's sing once again together. We will sing "Rejoice, All People, Homage Give." If you're using your Trinity hymnal, it's hymn number 73. "Rejoice, All People, Homage Give."